Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my returning guest is Penny Pierce, and today we're going to be talking about her new book, Transparency, Seen Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. Penny was first on the show last year on October 21st, 2016, when we talked about her book, Leap of Perception. So if you want to listen to that show, just go to the archives page on BiteRadio.me and look for October 21, 16, and you'll be able to listen to that particular interview. But today, again, talking about transparency, this is a groundbreaking book with an inside-out view of personal transformation and the path to everyday enlightenment by letting go of the clutter, defense, and fears to instead focus on building the courage to be honest, vulnerable, authentic, and super clear. Prescriptive, accessible, and thought-provoking, Transparency aims to help you identify your soul-blocking habits, find the insights being masked, and return these negative patterns back into the clear light of the unified field. Each piece of clutter dissolved, understood, and released creates greater transparency, opening us up to experience our true selves and all the joys of life. You can find out more by visiting Penny's webpage, which is pennypierce.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Penny to the show. Hello, Penny.
Hey, Robert. It's good to be back.
Thank you. It is good to have you. We had a really good time last year, and I just love what you write. It really makes things clear for the reader and really helps people. So I'm really anxious to talk about this new book, Transparency. But this is the fourth in your series about personal and societal transformation, the first three being The Intuitive Way, Frequency, and Leap of Perception. So how do these four books work together? What's the overall puzzle, how it fits together?
Yeah. Well, I think it still remains to be seen in some ways, but I think it's a matter of timing in terms of how the frequency on the planet is, what level it's at, because it keeps going up and up and up, and then as it gets more high frequency, I get access to different ideas, and then new book ideas come in. But it's been a progression, and it is in some ways logical. I started with the intuitive process, which was a big focus of mine for a long time, working on intuition development, and then seeing how that opened up this huge connection to spiritual awareness. And then watching, as I did a lot of readings for people, what was going on under the surface of our lives, and this, how the acceleration seemed to be happening and affecting us. And then I started to realize this was about transformation. And then that's different than change, that it's something really big is happening. It's not just another little development. And I wrote a bunch of books about dreams and some other stuff, and then Frequency came out in, I can't remember when that was, anyway, it doesn't matter. And that was about getting to the level where we could sense that we were made of energy and consciousness, and that everything was vibrating and vibration. It was probably one of the first books that ever came out on the whole idea of frequency. And then that just is still selling a whole lot. But then a year or two later, the next thing that came was Leap of Perception, which is really about that transformation is about a total change of perception, like an energyometry of the way we see the world, from a linear kind of perception to a spherical and a holographic kind of perception. And what is that anyway? You know, and how does it work, and what are we going to turn into, and all of that. And then that just kept on going, and the next thing that came up was this transparency idea, which is that as we really do integrate with the spiritual realm, or in other words, when the non-physical and the physical, when we see that they're part of each other, that they're together, they're not separate, that we start identifying ourselves accurately as the soul, not just as our left brain or as our personality or as our body, you know, but that we're so much more. And as that happens, then a huge, profound change really starts happening in our consciousness. And that is what I've been fascinated with all these years. You know, so I don't know where it'll go next, but but this book really, it tries to talk about how do we become transparent? What does that mean? You know, and what happens to our reality when that happens? And is it frightening and scary, or is it safe? You know, so there are a lot of questions that come up about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, you know, it seems that, you know, when, I mean, your books address the two levels, the personal level and then the global or societal level.
Right.
So, I mean, those,
right.
You know, and they do seem to, you know, be in sync, more or less. So, you know, do you feel, I mean, you know, the idea of transparency, when we just kind of step back and look at our world now, I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, transparency or lack of, you know, seems to be really foremost in people's consciousness.
It's like
right
in the
now.
News every day now. I can't believe it. It's like a word whose time has come or something.
Exactly.
Especially
so,
with politics.
Yeah, you know, yeah, especially with politics. So now, when we're talking about transparency, you know, let's take a few minutes to talk really exactly, you know,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have maybe a general idea, but for the purpose of the book, you know, how do you describe transparency?
Yeah, I had to think about that myself, you know, because usually what we think of as transparency means sort of a freedom of access to information, the availability of truth, you know, and having truthful information and you know, authorities not hiding things from us and keeping secrets from us. And so there's a growing hunger for that kind of transparency related to information. And I call that in the book, I call it horizontal transparency, which is kind of, to me, it means it's in the physical world still. It's still in the linear perception realm, you know, where we're still in the information age, but we're about at the end of it, I think, about ready to shift into the intuition age. That's at least my term for it, where we move from left brain dominance into this opening into the right brain, and actually the right brain opens you into the feeling of the entire field, into the whole body as a kind of brain, you know, into things that are so totally immersed in unity that you can't even have a focus. You know, you're just totally immersed in the oneness of life. And as you do that, your intuition just opens wide up, and your imagination is available, and everything's available. And that experience of moving into that realm, I think, really is what transparency is about. So we're about to shift out of that horizontal transparency, which is the left brain dominance stuff, analytical linear thinking, into vertical transparency, which I'm sort of defining as this idea that because the physical plane has increased in vibration so much over the years, and it seemed, I don't know what's causing it exactly, but, you know, they even have proof that the vibration of the Earth itself has increased, you know. So
right.
the planet itself is vibrating faster. So are our bodies. And when our bodies vibrate faster, then our emotions and our mind and everything about us starts to amp up. And at that point, then we start to be aware of new kinds of consciousness, right? You know, we think, oh, wait a minute, we're not just solid beings, we're like inanimate objects. We're beings of energy and consciousness vibrating at different levels and frequencies, and we start to see ourselves differently. You know, and that is continuing. It's not going to stop. And as that continues, our whole perception is changing to the point where a lot of the old ways of thinking, which are very fear-based, you know, like narcissism and victimization, right. Those things are based those on linear perception. Like where, you know, with linear perception, you see things as separate. Here's me, right. Here's my goal in the future, here's my next step along the path, here's my past, present, future with gaps in between these little dots on the line, you know. And that kind of gives you a sense of fear in a way, because what you're separate from what you want, you're separate from yourself, you're separate from your future or your destiny. And you have to use willpower to try to make it all work. But when you start to increase frequency, you become aware that everything's all happening at once. There is no future. There are potential realities. Just there are different frequencies. If you place your attention on a higher frequency, your reality will change into that reality. It's like these effortless things start to happen. I mean, I've written 3 books about this, so it's hard to talk about it in a few sentences. But it's like I think a very effortless, frictionless, synchronous kind of thing is happening to us when we get rid of that illusion of separation. And so the vertical transparency is really where the non-physical or spiritual reality, you start to see it inside the physical reality, like they've merged. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I'm not just a mind and a personality. I am the soul. I don't have a soul. I am it right now in the world. It's creating my mind, my, you know, my reality, my personality, everything. And I trust it because it's connected to all other souls and the whole evolution of everything on the planet. You know, and so you start to get into this kind of a sense of relaxation about trusting yourself and trusting the flow and trusting where we're all going and how we're helping each other, and then the fear starts to go away. And that is vertical transparency.
It's interesting. First of all, you know, with regard to the increased vibration, it's, you know, to me, I recognize that, and it seems that for people who can adjust to that increased, you know, frequency or vibration, that, you know, that awareness or transparency, you know, becomes visible, you know, to them, or they, you know, they experience it. But it seems that if some people have difficulty with that increased vibration, that it seems to just increase anxiety or a frustration, you know, I mean, it seems, you know, that, you know, in order to kind of garner the benefits of that new vibration or that new transparency, that you really need to kind of grasp or you know, not try and fight that increased vibration.
Well, I totally agree, and I think that's partly why I've been writing, I think, and trying to talk about all this for so long, is that we need a roadmap. We need to understand that there actually is something happening on the planet that's from the non-physical realm, and it's affecting the physical realm. The inner energy blueprint is changing, you know, and that means the outer form is going to change as well to match that. And I think that, you know, people who don't understand what's happening, who are in fixed beliefs about some kind of old, maybe description of how things work, are they go into fear, and then they go into defensiveness, and they try to protect their old beliefs, and they get into locking down and, you know, even very defensive warlike behaviors at times and violence because they're really going into fear. The ego is basically dying in a way. You know, if you're too connected to your left brain and having everything described and defined and all safe and tidied up, and now comes this great era of fluidity where you have to let go of your story, you have to let go of your definitions of who you think you are in order to become something much more who you really are. You know, at that point, there's always like this clutching, you know, that happens. Like, oh, my God, there's nothing else out there.
Right,
and you need somebody to tell you, hey, there's something even better out there, and here's how you get through it. You know, and I think it's so important that we who know a little bit about this process really do talk now and try to be thought leaders and help people so that they don't suffer so much or have such a frustrating time.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when you were talking about the horizontal transparency with external people viewing external sources or circumstances as determining their journey, you know, versus, the kind of letting go and trust. And, you know, I mean, it's for some people, it can be a real challenge to, to recognize that by letting go and allowing things, that doesn't take away from their power. I mean, you know, because some people feel that, you know, there are external circumstances that I can control, which, you know, may or may not be true. There are certain things that you can, mm-hmm. Affect in your life.
Yes.
But when it comes time to, you know, letting those go, you know, as far as, you know, trying to control the uncontrollable, you know, and then trusting in, you know, the way things are going to play out, you know, that, I think some people have difficulty recognizing that it's powerful to let go, you know. It's really
That this is the way it works, actually. You know, if your willpower and your left brain is trying to, let me back up a minute, because it's like, when we're in linear thinking, we think there's an outside world that's separate from us. You know, there's a gap between me and the world. And the world is so big and powerful, and it could be against me, and it can do things to hurt me, and, you know, all that. And that reality then makes you think that external events determine your life. And that you have to try to manipulate them or fight them or control them or just abandon yourself to them and be a victim of them, you know, one thing or another, based on that separation. And that is the old perception, you know, and that is where we live. We kind of resign ourselves to suffering. And it's not what the soul knows. The new kind of perception is that there is no line between you and the outside world. In fact, there's no outside world. It's just one big body of knowledge that is you. We have imaginary focal lengths that we focus in and out of throughout that huge body of knowledge. Like one day you might be reading a book and looking at specific words, and another day you might look out the window and feel the tree and the birds, and the next you might meditate and go out into really higher realms and then come back and cook dinner, you know, and you're constantly moving in and out through this huge body of knowledge, having different focal lengths and different little mini realities, you know, so that everything is really in you. There's nothing separate, and that everything's really evolving together. You get this, I think, through meditating and through going into sort of a communion state with the moment, a mystical kind of connection, you know. And then things start to open up and you start to see how consciousness and energy actually do work, you know, the universal principles that govern the way the reality actually works. And it's eye-opening, very much so.
It is. So now, let's talk a little bit about the difference between transparency and invisibility. You know, the
yeah.
What are the those two concepts, and how do they fit in?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I thought about what people originally thought about the idea of transparency, if they even could, you know, get it at all. And I think over time, people have kind of worshipped this idea of becoming invisible, or that the invisible realms and the gods were invisible, and then they became visible, and then they became invisible again. And but it's a very orientation, you know, that if you become invisible, you could maybe be more powerful than people who are visible, and it's a left brain kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really relating at all to the concept of transparency. It's a very premature understanding of the idea. Whereas with transparency, you're still here physically, but you're
right.
Not holding on to, let's say, fixed ideas or beliefs or fears or this is the way I am and this is the way I'm not and I'm never going to change, you know. And, you know, because every time your mind focuses on a fixed idea or an emotion that makes you think that I'm never going to have this happen to me again, then you lock down and you prevent energy from flowing, which means that you prevent the ability of you, the soul, from actually informing you, the personality. You don't get your own guidance, you create blocks. And so through kind of contracting and freezing and inhaling and never exhaling, you stop the flow from your own source into your own creation, which is your personality here on Earth. You know, and so basically, I think that you know, fear is the big you know, enemy, I guess, if you want to call it that, the culprit.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, fear and vulnerability. You know, I think.
Yes.
That kind of kicks in. So now.
And I talk about vulnerability, yeah. You know, because I think it's an interesting idea that we have mistaken ideas about this, like that to be vulnerable is a scary thing. Actually, it's kind of just a statement of being simple and real, you know, that you're not trying to be something else. You're not trying to put on a mask or you know, present yourself in a certain way in order to be approved of. You're just allowing yourself to be seen. And it's a very important first step in becoming transparent.
Yeah.
Transparency,
yeah, it is.
You know, it's so related to honesty.
Oh, it is. It is. Yeah. There's someone I know who does, you know, very good readings, and he always told me that, you know, the more transparent, you know, a person was and honest, the freer, you know, the information flowed, you know, and the accuracy and the
right. And appropriateness. Whatever was needed is needed in the moment, just comes in the moment. If you don't
exactly.
need too much, you don't get too much. You know, it's sort of always kind of just right.
Exactly. So now, in the book, too, you talk about opaque reality.
Yeah.
I had never heard that phrase or term.
I hadn't either, but it came into my head, and I thought, well, yeah, you know, it's like if we're going to go into a transparent reality, then what we're
right.
in now is opaque. It's like we mm-hmm. can't see through it. It's dense, and it's thick with fear. It's thick with lies, dishonesty, you know, secrets, hiding. You know, if you think about the way we try to protect ourselves now, in order to feel safe, you know, that's the ego. It's all the ego's behavior. You know, secrets, lies, hiding, all this kind of thing is, to the soul, it's like a ridiculous thing. There's no need for it because everything's already
right.
working. Everybody's fine. You know, and when you merge into the physical world and you realize the spirit is inside of the physical plane, And then you realize that, oh my gosh, my soul is inside me. So I don't even mm-hmm. have a soul. I am the soul. And then you yeah. start identifying as the soul. And then you realize, well, my experience of as being the soul, I don't have fear. You know, and fears are kind of a ridiculous thing. So why would I need to project some image of myself that isn't actually who I am, because I'm already wonderful? You know, and that's not ego. It's yeah. just kind of the simpleness of the wonderfulness of the exactly. soul, which is able to be a genius, and it can do anything it wants. It can create any yeah. kind of reality it wants. No limits.
Yeah. It just becomes, it seems, a clear self-perception, you know,
exactly.
when you get rid of that stuff.
Yes. And the self becomes so unlimited then, but also it becomes highly compassionate. So a lot of things start happening, and this is what I started realizing as I was writing the book, you know, that as you become more transparent yourself, which means you let yourself feel exposed, you don't try to portray yourself in any particular way. You may even lose interest in telling your big story about who you think you are. You may just allow people to see you for what you are in that moment and be kind of humble, which is like, to me, that means the statement of who you are in a moment. You know, you're not being less than anything. You're just being simple. And when that happens, then other people start to like you more. They start to go, oh, well, yeah. you know, that person isn't defended, so I can trust them. And then
yeah.
they relax. And then guess what? They start opening up and letting themselves be seen more. They start revealing their secrets or their shames or fears because they know they can trust you. So the transparency thing is very, very contagious, you know. And when you see through yourself and allow others to see through you, then you can see through them. And what do you see through too? You might see, yes, they're afraid, yes, they have this problem, yes, but what's through that? Their soul. Look at how beautiful they are. And then when you have that view of them, you sort of telepathically convey that to the others, and then they start to like you, and then they start to like themselves, and then they open up and become more transparent. And then the next thing that happens is you're able to see through problems or situations, you know, and see like the really core thing that's going on or is trying to happen, you know, under the surface and why the blocks might be there. You know,
yeah.
so you become this like expert problem solver, you know, and it just
sounds
keeps
great.
On going.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, gosh, Penny, we're already halfway through the show, so we're just kind of zipping right along. So I want to take a quick break, and then when we come back, you know, speaking of the blocks, you know, the one thing, you know, that I believe would be, you know, important in becoming transparent is clearing away clutter. So let's talk about clearing away clutter and kind of how we can do that, okay?
Sure.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us again today. My very special guest is Penny Pierce, and we're talking about her new book, Transparency, Seen Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity. Again, you can find out more about the book and Penny's other books by visiting her website, which is pennypierce.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back. Penny?
Hello, hello, again.
Hello. Okay, so clutter. Some of us have a bunch of clutter kind of rolling around in the head.
Exactly. I mean, it's just a kind of nice catch-all term for, you know, I think we all have old residues of things we picked up from our family, from other people, from the culture itself, about how life works and how you have to protect yourself and what's wrong with life and how it's this world is a place of pain and suffering, you know, and all these things that have kind of plagued humanity for forever and our own, you know, karma. And so what that does, to me, it looks like a sieve. You know, like one of those, like an upside down sieve that is around us, and the soul is trying to get through it, radiating down and into us from above, but it can only get through the holes, you know, which is where we have become clear and transparent or loving and compassionate. And the dark parts are where we're still feeling kind of contracted and dense and sharp and, you know, unfeeling in a way. The idea here, I think this is not a unique idea, it's just that when you clear the fear and the clutter and the fixations that cause the density and the slowness of energy, which actually kind of darkens the light, when you clear that away and understand it and dissolve it, what's left is you. You know, what's left is the truth, the soul. You don't have to make yourself develop spiritual consciousness. You're already that way. You're just covered over with a bunch of wet blankets. You know, so part of this is nice that you don't have to use willpower to try to make yourself get better. You're already fine. You know, just like let's like start lightening the load and dump a stuff that isn't really ours, that we don't really understand, that isn't really accurate. And the one other wonderful thing is that because the Earth keeps accelerating and energy on the Earth and in us is getting faster and faster, it's very easy now to clear old patterns almost instantaneously. You don't have to go through a long linear process of digging back into your past and doing 10 years of therapy, you know, to get rid of stuff. You can just go into the present moment, feel the old one, feel the way it would be to be without that old pattern, and poof, it's gone. Yeah. And as soon as you place your attention on the new way of being that feels better to you, you can have that way of being. And then all the old patterns that you thought were so real start to just, they kind of dissolve, and you scratch your head and you go, well, wait a minute, did that happen to me? You know, or was that somebody told me about that? You know, it's like you can't actually even remember that you had that thing. And it's wild.
Yeah, that's when you get to that point, you know that you kind of truly shed whatever it was that, you know, was weighing you down or clouding your vision.
Yeah. And you see that it's a lot of that is a function of attention. What you place your attention on becomes your reality. I mean, it actually becomes physical. It comes into the three-dimensional world, into this world. If you take your attention out of it, like through boredom, for instance, not through resistance, because that gives attention to the thing, but just through boredom, where you actually can detach and make things sort of nonplussed and not that meaningful, then they go, that whole idea goes back into the field and dissolves, and when it dissolves, that's where you have this kind of weird sense of forgetfulness. Like, wait a minute, did that happen? You know, did I ever own that as my own personal kind of suffering? Maybe not.
Right.
You
One of the things too is that I think sometimes we get so fixated on trying to understand and dissect, you know, every bit of our, you know, our experiences, to the point where it's, I mean, if you're always looking for, you know, why this, why that, I mean, you just keep it alive. I mean, you don't allow.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the left. That's the left brain's method of trying to get through this, but it doesn't really want to end it because then it means the ego would die.
Yeah.
You know, if you get rid of your problems, then you become the soul, and then the ego doesn't have a function, or it thinks it doesn't. But ironically,
right.
We need it. We need the left brain because it's our
right.
Action-oriented
uh-huh.
implementer.
Yeah.
It's not the
yeah.
boss, though.
Yeah, that's the key. It's you know, it's going to be there. It serves its purpose. You know,
absolutely.
It's not going to go anywhere, but keep it in check. Kind of.
That's right. It's not the master. You know, it's the servant more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Now, in the process of, you know, moving into this, you know, intuition age and transparency, you know, we talked a little bit about trust, but in the book you talk about radical trust. So,
yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because, I mean, it sounds like we're talking about a severe shift here.
Right. I actually had to look up the word radical because it sounds so dramatic. But actually what it means is the root of something. You know, so radical is radical trust would mean, well, what is really the core meaning of trust? You know, what's the core experience? And so I started thinking about what would it be to be totally trustful? You know, first of all, I think that would mean that you trust that you are the soul. You are the soul. That and the soul is connected to all other beings, all other souls, and is connected to the divine. So that you're connected to everything. And then that you trust the flow, that the way life occurs is in a kind of a sanity. It's a kind of a harmonious evolutionary process where everything is evolving together, and that you can trust what other people do and what you do and what you think. And, you know, that what you choose to focus on to create is what other people need, and what they need may be to help you. Yeah, it's all so kind of synchro mesh. And then you trust what you say. You know, all of that, it feeds into this great big field of interconnectedness so that you relax into that. And then you realize there's plenty of help. If I get a thought of something I want to do or have or create, everybody will help me because that's the way it actually works. You know, so you have to start to, you know, put your attention on that and validate that whole idea, which has many facets, you know. And so trust is not just trust in one thing. It's trust in all the things.
Right.
You know, that,
right.
to me, is radical trust.
Okay. That makes sense. And if you're going to do it all the way.
Do it.
So,
you do have to choose trust to trust.
Yeah.
You have to make it a choice. Then you build it. Remember how they say building trust? You have to, like, see that you can go ahead and trust things. It does work, you know. And, you know, even if you trust a person and they turn out to betray you, for instance, if you think back, you probably got the information very early on that this person was not trustworthy.
Yeah.
That what they say is not what they're going to do. You know, most people, if you really look, you're going to see that you had the information all along and you overrode the data.
Yeah. Well, you know, in even in that case, or in maybe you trust in an outcome of a situation, I think then really the level of trust has to be the recognition that you know, there was a reason for the experience, you know, the reason for having this person there. Maybe I learned something, maybe they learned something, you know, and
right.
trust that the interaction was right and proper.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you are part of a field of energy, and that field vibrates at one frequency, whatever you've chosen to think about and feel. That's why I've advocated, you know, getting in touch with your frequency, which is the soul in the body vibration, and then choose it and choose it and choose it and choose it repeatedly until it becomes your new normal,
mm-hmm.
until you're saturated with it, your body is saturated, and your energy field around you is saturated. Tuning fork that you go strike like ding, you know, and this is your tone.
Right.
And then that goes everywhere. And then the field starts to act as a filter, and the people who show up, they don't attract because there's nowhere to attract from. They just occur. They appear. They emerge out of the field, and there they are, and they're on your same wavelength.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah,
everybody who
resonance.
Appears in your life is always on your same wavelength. But if you're
yeah.
partially clear, you get partially clear people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
right?
No, and I see, I mean, if you look around, I mean, just people watching, and it's just fascinating how birds of a feather, you know, kind of flock together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, that it's very much that way. And so, yeah, so if, I guess if you want clear, more honest and transparent, you know, people around you in your life, then kind of do it from within. Become what you want.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now, one of the, and I love your books because you always, you know, introduce lots of different concepts and things for people to ponder. And one of those is you talk about liminal space.
Ah, yeah.
So, what is liminal space? And is
liminal
it
liminal space? Actually, it comes from a term that means threshold. So, you know, at the end of any cycle of creativity, when you've gone through the original motivation and then the thinking and the doing and the having and the final, you know, results, you get to the end of that process and sort of the left brain thinks, uh-oh, there's nothing left but the void. I'm going to have to, you know, leave the world of form and I'll be, you know, annihilated or something. And, you know, so usually the left brain will cause you to go backwards and try to repeat thing you usually did until you get exhausted, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
finally you get so exhausted that you will let go and go into liminal space, which is the being, or it's that place where right before the threshold and right after the threshold. So after you've finished a cycle and you say, okay, nothing's wrong, I'm finished. I've learned a lot. This is great. I've achieved a lot of results, and look at what I've done. And now I have the satisfaction of what I've created, and I'm enjoying it. And now I'm bored. You know. And so now I'm going to let go of that, and I'm going to just be quiet for a while and, you know, relax and go into that spacious place where you sort of noodle around or, you know, you're not trying so hard. You're not using willpower. So liminal space, I think the early stages of that is the ability to let go and just, you know, not have to, you know, not use willpower, not be restless, not be addicted to distraction, but go
mm-hmm.
into the reconnection with the self, which is the right brain. Remember, right brain doesn't have language.
Right.
So in order
right.
to enter the right brain, you have to be quiet. And then when you do, the imagination opens wide up again. And the void is not empty, it's full. And there's tons of stuff you can have and do, and it's all patterning itself for your next level of creativity. And you just relax and keep waiting until it keeps forming and it shows itself to you. But it's like the caterpillar, the caterpillar going into the pupa, and what happens is they actually
right.
melt down. And all their particles float around in this liquid state, and then they recombine and become this butterfly, you know. So it's, but you have to wait. during this phase because it has its own intelligence somehow.
Yeah.
And that's the liminal space, and we don't know how to enjoy it.
There's probably a few people now going through that meltdown stage, but it's, you know, it's good to know that a butterfly is going to emerge. But, that's perfect. Now, you know, with the movement to transparency, you know, if we're going to make our lives more transparent, I would think then that this would be a kind of a process that we would go through that, you know, because many of us have a bunch of that stuff to shed. So I would think that it would take time and that we would also possibly slip into old patterns sometimes too.
Of course. You know, I think that's the whole, you know, modus operandi of the physical world is oscillation. You know, that everything rotates and everything has polarity and we rock back and forth constantly. It's like particle wave, you know, it's like physics. So, you know, I once said once to somebody, I think I'm enlightened every other minute, you know, because, you know, I'm clear and then not clear and then clear and then not clear. And I think that's just the nature of life. But to think that you have to be clear all the time, you know, then that's the left brain again trying to you know, lock everything down and make things, you know, right? So the thing is, stay in the flow.
Right.
And yes, you know that you have a very deep motive to become the true self. And I think people on a spiritual path have somehow decided that inside of themselves. Yes, I want it. I want to be more loving. I want to be ethical. I want to be clear. I don't like pain and suffering. I don't want to add any more into the world, you know. And so they're working on this bit by bit.
Yeah.
You know, I certainly have all my life been working on it. And so every time something comes up that makes you contract, now we learn that, I don't like that feeling of contraction. I don't like it when I get all reactive. And so just a minute, I realize I have the ability to pause. And I can take a breath and come back into my home frequency and get centered and allow myself to be who I am, and I am the soul. And I'm still, you know, have reactions to fear and intimidation and whatever. And yet I'm beyond it. I'm a loving being. And then you can choose at that point to respond rather than react and be more compassionate. See, but you have to do it again and again and again and again and again and again until it becomes kind of more second nature. And then you get, it's easier to stay as a compassionate, loving person. And even when the challenges look so devastating, like, you know, the way they do in the world right now, things are looking pretty bad, except they're not really. It's about clearing.
Right.
We are clearing a lot of the old stuff.
Yeah,
it's coming
that,
up. We're seeing it. We didn't see it before because
exactly.
It was suppressed.
Yeah, exactly. And it seemed to me that, you know, it's kind of like the extreme. We're being shown the extreme of that, you know, opaque, horizontal, you know, transparency aspect. You know, that it's you can't hide from it. I mean, if you're living in the world right now, you just. If you want to be invisible or try to hide from it, you really, it's very difficult to do at this particular point.
Well, if you try to do that, there are repercussions to that. You know, you can't contract without there being a lot of repercussions right now. And so it just is easier to not contract. And then people who have been used to letting go and opening up and going with the new waves of energy that are flowing through and letting their bodies adjust to higher frequencies as they come through. You know, we look back at, you know, what's going on in politics or the way certain people are behaving and say, my gosh, that's just so antiquated. It's so old. It's so boring. It's so stupid. You know, it's so slow. You know, it just seems like another reality, you know. It's not evil, it's just so old. And I think that more and more people, especially young people who are already kind of beyond it, you know, are like, who wants to participate with that, you know? And they're going to create new systems immediately. And so I think that the holdouts and the old ego entrenchment that's going on in the world today, and that, you know, a lot of countries are becoming more autocratic like that, you know, and I don't think it'll last long because I think it's going to be eclipsed quickly. We'll see how it plays out. But, I mean, you were right in the early part of the interview. You said, you know, the personal and the collective are very interconnected. What's going on for individuals is definitely going on culturally and societally, and they're very interconnected.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you feel that by working on that personal transformation or transparency, that it will the majority of people, as they go through that's going to kind of make the global consciousness transparency accelerate?
Absolutely. It's kind of like the Midas touch. You know, it's like you become more transparent, and then your friends around you, either they are afraid of you and they decide to not be transparent and they go into their cliques, right? There's a frequency sorting going on. Or if they leave you, suddenly new people show up who are of your vibration, and then you find out, oh, my gosh, these people I have so much in common with. Let's do a project together. Let's form a company. Let's do a thing, you know. And there's a convening happening where people who want to work together are starting to find each other. So then those groups will start to do works that I think are globally pertinent. And then those groups themselves will find other groups that are on their wavelength, and there will be these joint ventures. It's going to be this, you know, amassing of collective consciousness that's on the same vibration. And I think that's going to happen quite rapidly, so that a lot of good works are going to be done, you know, on the planet, and very big problems solved, you know, like the energy crisis or healing cancer or whatever it is. The group minds that are coming together, and especially of the younger soul groups that have come in, are going to really just kick into gear. So
yeah.
I think growth will be quite rapid.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, in particular when you were talking about the younger mindset, I mean, you know, so many kids have grown up with the, you know, interconnectedness. I mean, they all know the internet. I mean, they did not know a world without the internet. You know, if you were to talk to them about that, their minds probably couldn't comprehend, you know, what that would have been like. And so, you know, whenever, you know, we talked about a little bit about politics. You know, whenever I, you know, hear some, you know, political commentary, quite often it's the younger crowd, you know, that are, you know, independent thinking, you know, and really look at, you know, values as opposed to dogma and ideology.
Yes, and it's also the old souls that have been on the planet for a long, long time. They're very much in tune with the new soul groups coming in. You know, and I think there's a need of the older soul groups to help the younger ones learn to come into the physical world all the way and figure out how it works, because I don't think they really get it totally yet. But I think that's, you know, incredibly magical, you know, and I think a lot of the autistic kids are going to be incredibly powerful in this world. So we have yet to see a lot of the unfolding. But right now we're in the middle of this dense period of clearing, which in the book I call it the bridge time. You know, it's like some of us are waking up a lot and some are just starting to, and we're getting the idea. Some haven't quite started yet. Some are resisting opening up at all, you know, and so it can seem a little unsafe to let yourself be open and show yourself to the world, but you know, you don't have to broadcast yourself and threaten anybody. Just be there, you know, just be open, mm-hmm. undefended. And the people who can see you will see you, and those who can't recognize you won't recognize you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but that openness is going to allow flow. That's what we want. We don't want the contraction of all the minds on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, we want fluidity.
Gosh, yeah, exactly. Well, Penny, our hour is just about through. So, this
oh my
really
gosh,
been,
that went fast.
I know, it sure did. So now, before we close, I noticed that in the book that you have some exercises. Can you talk just a little bit about that? Because, you know, that's the one thing I like about your books is that you not only, you know, provide, you know, information
yeah.
and perspective, but also practical application.
Well, I'm always working on two levels. Like, I go up into these higher realms and get this kind of pattern recognition of all the things that are going on. It seems a little abstract sometimes. And then I try to bring it down to earth and say, well, how could you feel this in your body? So then I give exercises or things that you could do, whether it's a meditation or a journal or whatever, so that you can bring it in and ground it and make it real for yourself. And then at the end of every chapter, I have this transparency message that I wrote from a kind of altered state that takes you from the left brain more into the right brain and gives you a kind of a contrast, you know, to all that linear stuff. And, yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, get the whole brain working together and with the body.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's good because, so often, you know, we are – usually, you know, deep in, you know, entrenched in one side or the other, you know, depending on, you know, our, a lot of times our occupation or our conditioning, so that, you know, being able to recognize both sides, you know, distinctly makes it easier than when, you know, when it comes time to making changes.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. We can say more. Sure.
No, I'm just going to say I really appreciate your questions and just the time with you today. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And again, everyone, just want to let you know, again, today my very special guest is Penny Pierce. We've been talking about her brand new book, Transparency. Seen through our expanded human capacity. Again, you can find out more by visiting Penny's website, which is pennypierce.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, thank you for joining us for today's show.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.